Good morning, loved ones. I'm so happy that you're able to join with me today for this time of digital worship. I pray that wherever you are today and wherever you might be watching this or listening to this, that you just feel the Lord's presence with you, that our study of the book of Hebrews today will just allow you to walk more faithfully and more closely with the Lord. And I pray that during this time, you will just kind of segregate yourself away, hide yourself, seclude yourself from any distractions, that you'll just focus intently and on completely on the Lord during this time, and just allow His Spirit to stir you, to move your heart, and to just bring you closer to Him, and so that you can know at the end of this time that you have been in His presence. If you would, join me very quickly for a time of prayer. Father, Lord, I pray that you will just give us hearts that are ready to be stirred into action. Lord, ears that are ready to hear your word today, so that we can walk more faithfully with you, Lord, and we can live as your people here in this world. Lord, be with us now during this time and allow us to focus completely and exclusively upon you. This we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So last week, we began looking in Hebrews chapter 11, a very, very famous and well-known passage in the book of Hebrews. And we spent a lot of time unpacking the author's words about faith. We saw where the author took faith and kind of distilled it down to its most basic elements. And we unpacked and studied what those elements are. We talked about the assurance of hope and the conviction of things not seen. And from there, we came to the understanding that living by faith allows us to experience things that reinforce and confirm and reassure our hopes and our belief. And that the more that we take God at His word, the more we will experience things that will reassure us and reinforce for us the truthfulness of our beliefs. And we said last week that the author of Hebrews was explaining all of this to us for a reason, that there is a purpose behind it. And that reason being that the author is trying to explain to us how we live as people of God, how we live by faith during this weird in-between time. And to further illustrate this point to us, to further demonstrate for us how we live by faith, the author is going to start using examples of Old Testament figures who also live by faith. And these examples are to encourage us and to demonstrate to us how we can live by faith. And today we're going to look at the first three figures that the author presents. We're going to look at Abel, we're going to look at Enoch, and we're going to look at Noah. And we're going to see that living by faith, that putting our belief into action, isn't just a mental exercise, but instead, living by faith is a commitment to living out our beliefs in every facet of our lives. And so if you would, join me in Hebrews 11. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7. Hebrews 11, verses 4 through 7, and it says this: "By faith, Abel offered God a greater sacrifice than Cain, and through his faith he was commended as righteous, because God commended him for his offerings. And through his faith he still speaks, though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For before his removal he had been commended as having pleased God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for the one who approaches God must believe first that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, with reverent regard constructed an ark for the deliverance of his family. Through faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." And so today we see that the author gives us three case studies for us to unpack and to examine. And these examples are all coming from the early portions of the Bible. In fact, they're coming from the first several chapters of Genesis. And the three figures we're going to look at today all lived before the flood of Noah. In fact, as we continue through Hebrews 11 over the next several weeks, we're going to see where the author groups these figures into four chronological movements. Today, we're going to look and see how people of faith lived before the flood. And then next week, we will look at Abraham and the patriarchs. And weeks after that, we'll look at how Moses lived. And then following Moses, we'll understand and unpack how people lived by faith after the arrival into the promised land. But today we're going to start at the beginning, where the author begins, and we're going to look at verse 4 and the example of Abel. And the author writes there, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, Abel still speaks." So first things first, let's establish what we know about Abel. He was the second son of Adam and Eve. He was born after they were banished from Eden. And Abel only appears in Genesis chapter 4. And in that chapter, we are told that he kept sheep. He had flocks. He was a shepherd. And we're also told that in the course of time, both Abel and his older brother Cain brought offerings before the Lord. Cain was a farmer, and he brought offerings of the fruit and the vegetables of his toil, of the products, the offspring of the ground. And Abel brought to the Lord the firstborn and the best of his flocks. And we're given no other information about these offerings other than that. That's all we're told, except for this statement. It says that God looked favorably upon Abel and his offering, but he did not look favorably upon Cain and his offering. And we all know the rest of the story from there. We know that Cain is angry at his brother. He is jealous that his brother's sacrifice was received by God and his was not. And out of his anger and his spite and his jealousy, Cain lashed out and killed his brother. But from those few verses that we just looked at, there have been centuries of debate, people trying to understand and unpack what made Abel's sacrifice more acceptable than God. Why was Abel's sacrifice accepted and Cain's rejected? Why did God look favorably on Abel and not so on Cain? Both these brothers brought offerings to God. So why was Abel's better than Cain's? And the author of Hebrews enters into this debate. And the author says that the difference is this. It's faith. Faith is the key difference between the two men's sacrifice. One brother offered a sacrifice out of faith, while the other brother offered a sacrifice just to fulfill an obligation. One brother, Abel, had the belief that God deserved the very best that he had to offer. And the other brother, Cain, just gave God enough to make him happy, maybe just enough to appease him. He put no thought or effort into his offering. And so Abel offered his offering in faith. He had this belief that God deserved the best of his flock, the best of his worship, and the best of his heart. And so he brought those things forth in faith. He had this belief and he acted upon it and brought forth God the best of everything that he had to offer. And he offered this sacrifice in faith. And that action shows us something about Abel. The author tells us that Abel's actions are a testimony, are a witness to his righteousness. This shows us today how righteous of a man Abel was. And because the fact that God accepted and had favor for Abel's sacrifices, God was commending Abel for his righteousness. God saw that Abel was a righteous man. He acted in faith. He lived by faith. And God commended him for that by accepting his sacrifice and looking favorably upon him. Now, let's not get carried away. Yes, Abel was a righteous man, but it surely did not buy him any favor here in the world. Because what was Abel rewarded with here on earth for his righteousness? What did he get in return for it? He was killed by his very own brother. Instead of following Abel's example, which Cain could have done, and God gave him the opportunity to do, Cain decided to follow the way of the world and to act out in jealousy and hatred and hurt and to kill his brother. But despite that fact, despite the fact that Abel died at the hand of his brother Cain, Abel still stands as a witness for us today. He stands as an example for us to follow and to learn from. And Abel teaches us that when it comes to living by faith, the attitude in which we act out our beliefs is just as important as the actions that we are performing. Both Cain and Abel did good things. They did good things. They brought offerings. They brought sacrifices to the Lord. But only Abel's sacrifice was accepted because only Abel offered it in faith. And only Abel offered his sacrifice with an attitude that God deserved the best, both of his flock, but also the best of his worship and of his heart. So that covers Abel. Let's move on to verses 5 and 6 to the example of Enoch. And the author of Hebrews writes this: "By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Now, Enoch is one of the most mysterious figures in all of the scripture. He only appears in a few verses in Genesis chapter 5, specifically verses 18 through 24. And in those few verses, we see that Enoch was the son of Jared, he was the father of Methuselah, and that he lived 365 years. And just as an interesting side note, the name Enoch in Hebrew means dedicated. And Enoch definitely was a dedicated person. He was dedicated and committed to God. So much so that in Genesis 5:24, it says this: "Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more, for God took him away." In fact, Enoch is the first person in the scriptures of which it is said that they walked faithfully with God. And not only that, but Enoch is significant for the reward of his faithfulness. It says that God rewarded Enoch by taking him away. He did not taste death. He did not die. Rather, God took him away and he was no more. Now, keep this in mind. Keep in context, the context of the Enoch story. Enoch appears in Genesis 5, which is nothing but a list of genealogies. And in that list, you see so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then they died, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and then they died. It's a very determined and very rigid pattern. But then you come to this Enoch character, and you see that he did not die. Rather, he walked with God, and then he was taken away, and he was no more. So this is a really interesting figure in the scope of the scriptures. And it says that because Enoch sought after God and walked with him, God allowed Enoch to escape death. He did not have to die. He escaped death. God rewarded his faith. And the author of Hebrews points another very critical point out to us. The author of Hebrews tells us that not only did Enoch walk with God, but also that he pleased God. And the author of Hebrews reminds us that it is impossible to please God without first accepting and believing that God exists. A person must first believe that God is real before they can seek to please him and to walk with him. And Enoch did just that. Now again, remember the time in which Enoch was living. He lived before the flood. And we know that in that period of time, however long it was, humanity was not seeking after God. Humanity was on this downward spiral. They were falling further and further away from God. But in this time, when humanity was straying so far away from God, there was a man who was dedicated to God. There was a man who believed that God was real. He believed that God existed, and he sought to please God by walking with him and living a life of dedicated commitment to him. Enoch believed in God, and then he acted upon that belief. He lived by faith. And as a reward for that faith, God allowed Enoch to escape the very thing that humanity was punished with for the rebellion against God. Enoch was allowed to escape death because he did not live in rebellion to God. He walked with God. And the example of Enoch reveals to us three very simple truths, things that might seem as if they can go without saying, but we need to say them so that we're all on the same page and we all understand them. Truth number one that Enoch reveals to us is this: you cannot walk with God if you are not seeking to please God. Walking with God means that he is the priority and not ourselves. And so when we walk with God, we put God first. Truth number two is this: you cannot please God unless you are walking with him. The first step in pleasing God is living a life in submission to him. And you cannot begin to please God if you are not submitting to him and walking with him. And truth number three is this, and I believe this one to be the most important. You cannot walk with God and you cannot seek to please God if you do not first believe God is real. And this is essential. This is fundamental. The other two truths are built upon this one, because here's how everything works out. It is God who has told us what is true, what is good, what is bad. It is God who is the absolute authority and the absolute standard. And if we do not believe in God, then there are no absolute truths. There is no definitive good and no definitive bad. If we don't believe in God, then we are all left to ourselves to determine for ourselves what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. And what is right and wrong for me is just right and wrong for me. It might not be right or wrong for you. And if we live lives like that, if we live lives that are based on what we deem to be good and what we deem to be right and wrong, then we have become our own gods. And if that's the case, then we are only seeking to live for ourselves and to please ourselves. But if we first believe God is real and that he has determined for us what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong, and then we can submit to him and we can live within and according to the standard that he has presented for us. And we can walk with him. We can have a relationship with him and we can please him by living according to the standard that he has given to us. And so those are the three truths that the example of Enoch reveals to us. The final example that we're going to look at today is one that we are all familiar with. We know the story of Noah backwards and forwards, but this is what the author of Hebrews writes in chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, Noah lives after Enoch. In the time in which Noah lived, again, humanity was spiraling further and further away from God. In fact, by the time Noah came along, humanity had become so wicked that God deemed it better to just wipe humanity out and to start creation anew. But Noah, the great-grandson of Enoch, followed in his great-grandfather's footsteps, and he, like his great-grandfather, walked faithfully with God. And because of this, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God decided to spare Noah and his family from the judgment that was going to be carried out against humanity. And God decided to allow faithful Noah and his family to repopulate the earth. And because of all this, God spoke to Noah. God told Noah that he was going to open up the heavens and that water was going to pour from the sky and that water was going to come up from the ground and it was going to flood the earth and cover the entire face of the earth. Things that had never before been seen were going to occur. And that Noah was going to survive this by following God's orders and building a boat, building an ark that God would give him the blueprints for. And so Noah heard all of this. He was told all of this. And what did he do? He obeyed. He followed God's commands. He listened to God, and he did what he was told to do. Noah took God at his word, and he acted upon that word. And we see from that Noah's obedience in itself was an act of faith. Noah believed what God was saying to be true, and he acted upon that belief by listening and obeying what God had told him to do. Now think about this for a second. What would have been Noah's fate if he did not obey God? What would Noah's fate have been had he not listened and not built the ark? Had he disobeyed? His fate would have been that he would have been wiped out with everybody else in the flood, because in that act of disobedience, Noah would have proven himself to have been just like everyone else in wicked humanity at that time. But because Noah walked with God, and because he sought to please God, Noah obeyed God. Even though he had no idea of the things that God was telling about, Noah believed and he obeyed. And we cannot overstate the importance of obedience. We are reminded time and time again throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, that our obedience is more pleasing to God than anything else we can do. Sincere and committed obedience to God is more pleasing to Him than insincere or half-hearted worship and offerings. And this obedience of Noah stands out as a witness that condemned the rest of humanity at that time. Noah's obedience and his acting out in faith stood out in stark contrast and stark opposition to the wickedness of the rest of the world around him. And because of Noah's obedience, this obedience that was rooted in faith, rooted in a belief that Noah acted upon, Noah became an heir of righteousness. God saw Noah's obedience, and God rewarded Noah with righteousness, with a good standing, with approval that only comes through faith. This approval from God that only comes through having the belief, but then acting upon it in faith. And so in all of the examples that we looked at today, and each of the examples that we are going to look at as we go forward, we're going to see again and again and again that faith is belief that is put into action. Abel believed that God deserved the very best of everything, the best of his flock, the best of his worship, and the best of his heart. And Abel acted out that belief by giving God the very best of everything he could, his very best sheep and his most sincere worship. Enoch believed that God was real, and he acted out that belief by living a life that sought not only to please God, but to have a relationship with him, to have communion with him, to walk closer with him each and every day. And likewise, Noah, who also walked with God, Noah lived out his belief in God, that God was truthful and just, and Noah acted upon this by obeying God and following God's orders. So my question today is this: so what? What do these three figures, as living as far back as they did, at the very beginning of time nearly, what do they have to do with us? Well, here's the thing. Here's the answer. If we are going to live by faith in this in-between time, this time between the ascension of Christ back up into heaven, and we're here waiting for him to come back like he promised that he would, if we are to live by faith in this in-between time, as God expects us to do, then we must live like these three figures of old did. If we want our hope and our belief to be confirmed and reassured, then we must follow the examples of Abel and Enoch and Noah. And so we have to take these examples and we have to kind of extrapolate, take out of them some questions for us to ask ourselves. And that's the great thing about the Bible, right? We can read the Bible, and when we read it, it forces us to ask ourselves questions about how we are living. And so let's ask ourselves some tough questions today. What is our attitude when it comes to worship? What are we offering to the Lord? And I'm not saying so much about dollars and cents. I'm talking about, what are we giving back to God in our worship, in our tithes, in the way that we live our lives? Are we giving God, like Abel did, the very best of what we have? And are we worshiping him with the sincerity and with the best of our heart? Or are we more like Cain, who are just trying to fulfill an obligation and who don't put any sincerity or any thought or any concern into what we are giving God? Are we like Noah and Enoch? Are we walking with God today? Who are we walking with today? Who are we seeking to please today? Are we seeking to please ourselves? And are we seeking to determine for ourselves what is right and what is wrong? Because if that's the case, if that's what we're doing, then we are in rebellion against God. We have elevated ourselves into our own gods if we are the ones determining what is right and what is wrong. And that's rebellion. That's idolatry. And that's blatant and flat out sin. But we have to remember, if we are living that way, if we are determining for ourselves what is right and what's wrong, if we are living for ourselves, if we are seeking to please ourselves, then we cannot be walking with God. We cannot walk with God and still try to please ourselves and make ourselves happy. Or today, are we seeking to please God? Are we seeking to walk with him a little closer each and every day, seeking to do what he says is right, seeking a deeper communion, a deeper relationship with him each and every day? And with that, are we fleshing out that relationship with God through obedience? Are we taking the belief that we have in God's truthfulness, our belief in the gospel, our belief in salvation through Christ alone? And are we fleshing that out, acting upon that by living a life of obedience to God and to Christ? Are we following the commands and the orders that they have very clearly spelled out for us in the scriptures? You see, we have to remember, loved ones, that our obedience is essential. Our worship and our walking with God is absolutely fruitless if there is no obedience. We cannot walk with God. We cannot please God. We cannot give God the very best of what we have and the things that he deserves if we do not have obedience. Obedience is the simplest and yet most important way we can act out our faith. It's the most fundamental way in which we can demonstrate and act out our belief in God. But are we doing that? Are we obeying God? Are we obeying God and standing out as his faithful people in stark contrast to the rebellion and the wickedness and the just general godlessness that we see all around us? Or does our lack of obedience cause us to blend in with everybody else? So where are we today? Who are we giving our best to today? Who are we walking with today? Who are we seeking to please today? Who are we obeying today? If your answer to these questions is God, then amen. Press on. Keep doing it. Keep pushing forward. You are an example for many of us to follow ourselves. But if your answer to these questions was anything other than God, then you need to know up front that you are not on the right track. And you need to know right here and right now that the things that you are following, the things that you are seeking to please, the things that you are obeying that are not God, those things will lead you nowhere. And they will fail you, and they will disappoint you, and they will hurt you. So you need to recognize that and repent of that and to stop following those things and to follow the God who is laying out for you clearly and beautifully and simply the way in which you can follow him and come to him and do just that. Come to him and start living for the Father. Loved ones, would you pray with me? Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for these simple examples of Abel and Enoch and Noah. And Lord, I pray that you will just increase our faith, Lord, so that we can model these men, Lord. Not that we are compared to them. We are going to be compared to Christ, Lord. But these three men stand as wonderful examples for us to follow. Examples of living by faith, Lord, in a time in which it seems no one else is. And Lord, help us to do that. Help us to walk more closely with you each and every day. Help us to give you the best of what we have, Lord. Help us to seek to obey you in everything that you have commanded us, Lord. Forgive us for our shortcomings, Lord, and forgive us for the times in which we stray, in which we do not hit the mark that you have set before us, Lord. But empower us to live as your people and to live by faith and to be different from everyone around us, Lord. And to be examples, Lord, to those who need encouragement and need examples, Lord, and for us to spread your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Christ. Amen.